Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Shalom Aleichem, Assalamu Aleichem, Namaste, Pak Sat Nam, Sat Sri Akal, Tashi Dalek, Ho Lila Tanyan Wase Yake. Hello, may everything be well with you as it is with me. Let me check our recording levels here and get those adjusted. All right, that's better. All right, and now I will begin this shiur as I do each year by reciting the Kaddish for the dead and the mourners of the dead. Please close your eyes as you listen and remember someone to whom you are close who has passed away. In doing so, you will honor that person's life and bless his or her memory with the light of your own consciousness. Yisgadol v'yishkadosh shmei rabo, bol modi v'ro kirasei, v'yamlik melkasei, b'kaya kon uv'yo makon, uv'kaya dekol beis Yisrael, ba'agalo uv'izman koriev, ve'imru omein. Yehe shmei rabo mavorak, le'olam ule olmei omayo. Yisbarak v'yistabak, v'yisbarar v'yisramam, v'yisnase v'yisadar, v'yisale v'yisalal, shmei dukadjo beraku, le'elo minko berkaso, v'sharoso, tushbakoso v'nekamoso, da'amiron be'olmo v'yimru omein. Yehe shlomo rabo min shamayo, v'kayim olenu v'yal kol Yisrael v'yimru omein. Ose shalom bimramov, Huyashe shalom aleinu ve'al kol Yisrael ve'imru omein. All right, let me find my place here in my notes. All right. Well, as you know, since you've attended the last few of our shirim, which, by the way, that stands for classes, or it doesn't stand for it. That is, shirim is the Hebrew for classes or teaching sessions. We have been teaching about how there were three creations spoken of in Genesis 1:26 and 1:27 of man in the image of God. We've talked about the fact, too, that there is man in the concept, and we hear this all the time. This is spoken of so much in society. We hear it's almost a cliche, and that is when we talk about a person and we talk about the complete person, we talk about the person's body, mind, and soul, or body, spirit, and soul. And so it's commonly recognize that a complete person consists of three parts that make up the whole. And even beyond this, Gurdjieff, the great early 20th century mystic teacher, mystical teacher from Armenia, taught that man is a three-brained creature. A three-brained creature, as opposed to animals that have two brains. And what are these three brains? Well, we have the midbrain, and then we have the lower brain, where the limbic system is. What some people refer to as the lizard brain, because it's right above the what's known as the brain stem, where it connects onto the spinal cord, and that's where all of the lowest functioning of the human or even animal are located. Those centers are there. And then you have the midbrain, which does more highly evolved, differentiated functions. And then in the human being only, you have the frontal cortex, consisting of the frontal lobes and the orbital cortex, which now they're starting to discover has to do with our feeling of well-being. Whether or not we suffer from what's known as depression and anxiety, they have now discovered has to do with the functioning or hyper, either the normal activity or hyperactivity of what's known as the orbital frontal cortex. This is a small area of the brain directly in the center of the head between the eyes, just above the bridge of the nose. Now, interestingly enough, people who have suffered from various psychoses, down through many, many years. I'm talking about 1,000 years or more, in various cultures, have either by themselves or with the help of doctors in their society, whether those doctors are spiritual doctors, which we Westerners refer to as like medicine men or witch doctors, or whether they are MDs, it has been common. Indeed, we have found archaeologically, we have found skulls in which this procedure has been done, in which a hole has been drilled through the skull in order to, quote-unquote, in terms of archaeological speculation and also documents that have been received and been written down from a long time ago, to let out evil spirits, to relieve the brain of possession by evil spirits. And where does this hole just happen to be drilled? Exactly where now scientists have found just recently, in the last few years, and identified an area of the brain called the orbital frontal cortex, which the levels of neuron activity determine if they are a normal rate, that one is not depressed and anxious, and if one's rates of activity in this part of the brain are elevated, meaning there's hyperactivity there in terms of the neuron firings and connections going on in this little tiny area of the brain, that one is depressed and anxious. And so now the scientists are incredibly excited because they've actually located a physical area of the brain which they can, using PET scans, can identify for sure a physical association, a pattern of physical activity, neural activity that is definitely associated with clinical depression and anxiety. And, moreover, they have already discovered that a certain form of horse tranquilizer, and I can't recall the name of it, it starts with a K, within 24 hours of injection by this, it calms that center of the brain's activities down. So anyway, that's kind of an aside here, but it has to do with the different parts of the brain. And I was saying that we are three-brain creatures. We have a frontal cortex. Animals do not. And this is where all of the higher brain functions take place, including, as I just mentioned, the centers for a feeling of well-being or not well-being. Okay, so we've been talking about this, that man made God according to three different zelamim, which is Hebrew for images of God. Zelamim Elohim, the images of God. Okay, now I promised that I'd get into this in our last session, and that is to the importance of this number three. Why did God create us with statements regarding three images, not two, not four? Okay. Well, let's look at the importance of the number of three. Not just in terms of those three images, but certainly, specifically, with respect to that, but also overall with how God has made all of the world. Okay? The Etz Chaim, remember that? It's the tree of life. That's the diagram of the 10 holy sephirot. That is a depiction of the supernal body, the image and form of God, in whose image that man is made. So that diagram of the 10 sephirot is a graphical depiction of the attributes, the 10 attributes of God as he descends into the world. And this is a zelam, or image, of God. It's the image of God in man, and man in God's image. And in fact, if you have that diagram in front of you, which I strongly recommend that you download a copy off of our website to have with you for these various classes that I give, because it's important to be able to, I will refer to them all the time, even more so as we go on. There have actually been Kabbalists who have superimposed over the diagram of the Ten Sefirot that looks like just the circles and the lines, they have superimposed the figure of a human being. And so you have Keter, the topmost Sefirah, being the head. Then you have Hakma and Bana being the shoulders or arms, and then you have so on and so forth down, with the hips being or the torso being, excuse me, the hips or the arms actually being Hesed and Gevurah and Tiferet being the torso or the heart, and then Netzach and Hod being the hips and legs, and Isud being the phallus. And if you want to look at it from the feminine point of view, it's the genital area, it'd be the vulva. And then below that is the foundation, or the feet together, of the world upon which God stands. And he is God in the world, is man. And so it's the form of Adam Kadmon, primordial man. All right, so again, looking at that, this is the Tselem or image of God, Tselem Elohim. It consists of 10 Sefirot, that's the 10 vessels, the 10 attributes, connected by 22 paths. The 22 paths are, each one of those is a letter of the sacred tongue, the Hebrew Aleph Bet. Okay, now if you look, you'll notice that the arrangement of these 10 Sefirot can be seen as being in three columns or pillars. Three, there's that number. So all of the attributes of God are arranged in three columns or pillars. These three pillars are called by various names. And if you look at them, they're arranged. There's a right-hand side, there's a middle side, and there's a left-hand side. Okay, so some of the names given to these pillars are, the right-hand pillar is often called the tree or path of life, or of light, or of goodness, or affirmation. Okay, the left-hand pillar is the opposite, because what we have to understand now is that God is God's mind and God's being is, it consists of opposites. The attributes are opposites in conflict with each other. So whatever's on the right-hand side has its opposite on the left, and vice versa. So if the right-hand pillar is called the tree of life, or light, or goodness, or affirmation, then the left-hand pillar is called the tree or path of death, darkness, evil, or denial. And these attributes of God are constantly at war or in conflict with each other. Well, that leaves us with a third pillar or column, the center one, the one in the middle. And so what do you suppose that is? This central pillar is the path of righteousness, or the path of reconciliation. Okay, this is what reconciles or balances the conflict of the opposites in God's mind and in the world, because God's descent from transcendence into materiality is a descent from etheriality into the physical, from the spiritual into the physical. And the physical is where this world's at and where the universe is at. So this is the path of reconciliation, not just in God's mind, but in all of the universe and individually, in the psychology of each individual human being. So this symbol, this symbolic representation of the Tselem Elohim, of the image of God, is the configuration, or the pattern, let's put it this way, the pattern upon which all existence comes forth from. It's like a crystalline structure, so to speak. It's like as things emanate out, and as God comes down, they all take on this same form and image. They're based on this pattern. Whether we look at it from the mind of God at the top level of transcendence, to the cosmos, to the universe at the middle level of existence, or we look at it from the individual human psychological point of view, we have this arrangement. Everything in existence contains a set of opposites that are in conflict, but which are constantly being reconciled or synthesized into something that's no longer in conflict. It's just the way it is, because this is the way God is. So God makes something that's the way He is. Okay, so the divine image, or Tselem Elohim, is divided into three principles. The right-hand side is the holy affirming principle. That's the active. We could call it the active principle. Or you can even call these polarities. Active on the right, negative on the left, and neutral in the middle. You can also look at this. This even exists in the level of the atomic structure, doesn't it? You have a nucleus, which consists of a proton and a neutron, which has an overall positive charge, that is circled by an a number, one or more electrons, which have negative charges, and which are, those charges are balanced by the fields. Those fields cancel each other out, and thus make the atom stable. So there's the three principles right there. The positive, the negative, and the harmonizing or reconciling force. These are three forces. These are three dynamic forces in all of creation, all of being, all of existence. So on the right-hand side is the holy affirming, and I just choose these. Again, I borrowed this from Gurdjieff because I just think this just is, I just really feel an affinity for it. I can't say why exactly, but I like this. The holy affirming, that in God, that in the universe, that in human beings, which affirms. And then there's the holy denying. That is that in God's mind, that in the universe, and that in the mind of man, which denies. Okay? And then in the middle is the holy reconciling. The holy reconciling. Now this middle column in Indian religions, and I mean Native American now, okay, they call this in Lakota the Good Red Road. This is the road of harmony and balance, and it's the good red path as opposed to the evil dark path. This is the path that seeks to help others, that seeks to take life as it comes and balance the good with the bad and put it to good use, not just for yourself but for others. So these principles spill over into, they are universal in that it doesn't matter what religious tradition or container you come from. So there's always going to be the active, here's another way of describing the three, the active, the passive, and the neutral. So these three principles are principles that are in God and are throughout all existence. Okay, philosophically, they have a name, these three principles, right? The other than the metaphysical philosophers such as theologians, they don't like to talk about God, but they do recognize that there are these three dynamic forces in operation, these three dynamic principles. And so the philosophers call them thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. So the right-hand column represents thesis. Left hand is antithesis, and the middle column is synthesis. How does that work? Well, it's a process, and it works like this. A proposed form of being or operation, okay, is envisioned and stated. This is called a thesis. Second, and immediately thereafter, and you can see that it arises as a result and response to the existence of thesis, a second form of being is envisioned and stated. This form of being is in direct opposition to the first. This is antithesis, or antithesis. Under the current structure of the universe, neither can exist without the other. If you take away the thesis, the antithesis has no reason to exist, and it disappears. If you take away the antithesis, then the thesis will also disappear. The two are mutually dependent upon each other. Now, that's the way that the universe is structured now, because it has not been totally repaired. And remember, I talked about in our last class, I talked about the shattering of the vessels, the Shevarit HaKalim, and then God rebuilt the shattered worlds. And we're looking at that diagram of how he rebuilt those worlds. That's the 10 Sephirot that I'm discussing right now. Okay, but it's not complete. And we will get to that, and you'll see why in a moment. But as it stands now, there cannot be a positive without a negative, just as there cannot be a day without a night, or a winter without a summer, a spring without a fall. Each side of an opposite is one half of a whole. And the whole is the two opposites, which are in mutual conflict. These all used to be mixed up in Ein Sof, undifferentiated. But God has, in coming into the world, engaged in the process of trying to remove the negatives from himself. And so what he has done is he has created a place where he can come into physical existence and temporal existence, and in doing so he's able to separate what was formerly one thing. It's as if God, if we use the atomic analogy, it's as if God separated all the electrons from all of the protons. Or from the nucleuses, and they're separated now, this is what God has done, is they used to be all formed together, but in this world, after the Big Bang, when the temperature lowered in those critical microseconds after the Big Bang to a certain level, it allowed atomic structure to become stable. This is taught to us by cosmologists, astronomers, astrophysicists, and quantum physicists, that at us above the certain temperature, immediately after the Big Bang, it was too hot for atoms to be stable, to form. They literally, as the temperature decreased, precipitated out of the ether, of the plasma, of the Big Bang. And when it went down to a certain temperature, then atoms were able to, God was able to, or under the rules that God set down, matter was able to come into existence. Until then, it was only energy. Matter came out of energy. Or light, that's what you can say. And see, it's real hard to see how these quantum physicists don't start thinking in terms of God, because all of the mystics have been teaching for centuries that God is light, God is energy. And now they're finding out, the quantum physicists, that is indeed what happened, is that first there was this light and this plasma energy, there was no matter, and then the matter, as the energy cooled, as it spread out into space, as it cooled, then the matter precipitated out of it in the form of atoms. And what do we say when we have matter? What it is we have an atom that consists, as I said, of a neutron that consists of a positively charged proton, a neutrally charged neutron called a neutron, and one or more electrons. And they're not merged any longer. If they were merged, they wouldn't be matter. They would be energy. So it is a separation that we see in the tree of life, Etz Chaim. We see, and I'm just talking right now about it from the level of the cosmos. We see that God came down. The Big Bang is at Keter. And then right after Keter, it divides into two columns, the two opposites. On the right-hand side, or all of, if we're looking at matter, is all of the protons. On the left-hand side is all of the electrons. And in the center are the neutrons. And I'm oversimplifying this, of course. I realize that. But I'm trying to teach a concept here and show how it applies to the entire universe and to the divine mind and to us psychologically. Okay? So this is the importance of the three principles. We have this universal process of creation. It exists on every single level. Okay? But, as I said, this is the current structure of the universe. Because in the end, when the Messiah comes, then that left-hand side is going to be neutralized of its negativity, of its negative charge, of its evil, and then the remainder of it is going to be absorbed in the form of energy, and the world will have only one force at the end, and that will be the force of the right-hand column. In other words, only good will exist in the end. The evil won't be destroyed, it will be transformed. Because in the economy of the universe, matter and energy, the total amount of matter and energy always remains the same. Only the form changes. And so it's a transformation. Okay. And as I said, the third part of that process, first part is the creation at the same instant in time of the two opposites. The thesis and the antithesis, because the one can't exist without the other. You can't have a proton without electrons. And then right after that is the synthesis, balancing between thesis and antithesis, the reconciliation through their unification into a new and different third form of being. This is called synthesis. All right. Now, our father Abraham tells us about this on the same subject, using a different metaphor, in the book that's attributed to him, known as Sefer Yetzirah, the Book of Formation, in chapter 2, verse 1. Here's what is said. 22 foundation letters, 3 mothers, 7 doubles, and 12 elementals. Okay, so add those up. You have 22 letters. He's talking about what? He's talking about the 22 sacred letters of the Hebrew alphabet. He says that those can be divided into 3 categories. So here's the 3 again. The 3 categories. The 3 mothers, and he's referring to letters now. The 3 mothers, the 7 doubles, and the 12 elementals. Now, I will just tell you, to save you the time it took me to find this out, I'll just tell you. The 3 mothers represent the 3 horizontal lines connecting paths in the Ten Sefirot. They consist of Aleph, Mem, and Shin. The 7 doubles are the 7 vertical lines, the 7 vertical connecting paths. And the 12 elementals are the 12 diagonal paths. Okay, now that's my commentary. He goes on to say in chapter 2, verse 1, the 3 mothers are Aleph, Mem, Shin. Their foundation is a pan of merit, a pan of liability, and the tongue of decree deciding between them. 3 mothers, Aleph, Mem, Shin, Mem hums, Shin hisses, and Aleph is the breath of air deciding between them. Okay, so he says the three mothers are the letters Aleph, Mem, and Shin. And the foundation of those three letters forms a pan of merit. And by pan, he's using the analogy of a balance beam scale. Okay? Which was used in the marketplaces. It's still used in marketplaces in third world countries. Okay? The marketplace scale. And you have a pan hanging on each side of this beam that's balanced in the center. Okay, and on the right-hand side, he says, is the pan of merit. On the left-hand side is the pan of liability. And in the center is the pointer. He calls this the tongue of decree, deciding between them. Okay? So, this is the analogy of the balance beam used to weigh substances of the scale that has two pans. On the right side's the pan of our merits, our human merits, our achievements, our victories, represented by the letter Mem, representing water. These are all the things it represents. The letter Mem represents the right-hand side, it represents water, represents our merits, our achievements, our victories. On the left-hand side is the opposite, of course, isn't it? It's the pan of our sins, our failings, our defeats, represented by the letter Shin, representing fire. Okay? Fire, of course. Water baptizes. Fire consumes. Water is represented with life that comes down from heaven in the form of rain. Fire is associated with the Christian hell. Okay? In the middle is the fulcrum of the scale and the pointer, represented by the letter Aleph, representing air. Okay? Now, we can also view this as the supernal body of God in administering mercy and justice in the world. Instead of a pan of merit or a scale, we have his right hand. His right hand is Chokmah and Chesed. Notice that those two, wisdom and mercy, Chokmah and Chesed, they're on the right hand column. Okay? And in his left hand, and that's where he holds our good deeds. That's where we stand if we outweigh our sins. In his left hand is Binah and Din. D-I-N. Now, on the diagrams on our website, I've got that down as Gevurah, which means strength. But in this case, it's called Din, which means strict justice. Justice without mercy, without weighing ameliorating factors. Okay? You messed up, you get punished. Okay? And that's in his left hand. But from his mouth, as he weighs what's in his right hand against what's in his left hand, from the mouth of God comes Aleph, the air, the breath of air, with which he forms the words that's referred to of his decree, which is referred to here, the tongue of decree. Okay, so there's an example in one of the most ancient Kabbalistic texts, actually pre-Kabbalistic Jewish mystical texts, of this threeness, this power of three, the dynamic of three in the world. Okay? Also, from the Zohar, which came quite a bit later than Sefer Yetzirah, we have this statement. Rabbi Shimon then proceeded, taking as his text, "See now that I am he, and Elohim is not with me," etc. You know, what he's doing is he's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. And he goes on, he says, "Friends, here are some profound mysteries which I desire to reveal to you now that permission has been given to utter them." And what he's talking about there is that secrets are revealed to the Kabbalists both by dint of their scholarship, that means their intellect, but also, and more importantly, by dint of direct revelation from divine inspiration, Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And we are not permitted in our tradition to profess these or reveal these mysteries to others. They're presented to us as secrets, as wanting us to know these things, for us to deal with. But at some point, permission is granted to teach them to others. That's why I'm here today. I was granted permission to teach what I have learned when I was granted Simca ordination. Part of my ordination, the decree of my ordination, part of it was where my teacher, my master, Rabbi Yaakov Leib, said, I hereby ordain you to preach and to teach and to heal in the world. And so I was ordained and given permission to teach that which I have learned. Okay, so that's what he's talking about here, Rabbi Shimon, to his companions. Friends, here are some profound mysteries which I desire to reveal to you now that permission has been given to utter them. And he goes on, friends, we must expound the rest of the verse. Since it contains many hidden mysteries, the next words are, I kill and make alive, etc. That is to say, through the Sephirot, on the right side I make alive, and through the Sephirot on the left side, I kill. But if the central column does not concur, sentence cannot be passed, since they form a court of three. So there is the metaphor that in another statement, a restatement of the metaphor of the scale of justice that I read you the passage out of, that Avraham wrote down in Sefer HaYetzirah a long time before Rabbi Shimon taught this, he used that same metaphor of a court in which there is an accused with a prosecutor on the left hand side, the accusations of the prosecutor on the left hand side, the defense statements of the defense attorney or defense counsel are on the right hand side, and the judge is in the middle. And then there's also, and this is based on out of Deuteronomy 32:39, where he says, I am he, and Elohim is not with me. So this is talking about Keter. Keter is before Elohim. One of the names of God have been given to all of these attributes. Keter, known as the crown, is a Rik Anpin. Okay, he's the ancient holy one. He is the judge of the world. He is the source of everything else. And it existed, this existed prior to the existence of the opposites. So Elohim is the name of Bana. Elohim is the name of Bana. So what he's saying here, and the reason he's mentioning Elohim is not with me is because in Genesis 1:26, it says, and Elohim said, let us make man in our own image. And Elohim. So what it's saying is that Bana said to whom? To the one that is not with me, which is in Deuteronomy 32, verse 39, where it says, I am he, and Elohim is not with me. Okay, so that's saying that this is Keter. This is God in his manifestation of both male and female, the androgynous God, before male and female had been separated out. Before there was light or darkness, before man had been created. This is the God that existed, that created everything. Okay, but as before Elohim was there to seek his counsel. Okay, and so what does that Elohim, or not that Elohim, what does that God, Keter, that hidden God, that cannot really be known by man because it's a duplicate, a mitotic duplicate of Ein Sof, it's transcendent. What it says is, I am he, and Elohim is not with me. I make alive, I kill and I make alive. And so what the Zohar, Rabbi Shimon here, is explaining to us, to the Kavarim, the companions, which is the same as to us. We are the Kavarim now. He's explaining it to us right now as if he were sitting here and speaking through my voice. We are the companions. We are listening to what Rabbi Shimon had received from the angelic teachers. And what he's saying is that when Keter says, I kill and make alive, he says what that means is that, it's through the Sefirot on the right side that I make alive, and through the Sefirot on the left side that I kill. And what did I teach just a little bit earlier? That the right-hand side is the path or tree of life, and the left-hand side is the path or tree of death. But it's the central column, the column of righteousness and judgment, not strict judgment, but in terms of weighing, okay, not passing sentence, but in terms of deciding, weighing all the evidence, it is the side in which da'at exists, which means knowledge, the side of the path of knowledge, that has to decide. If the central column does not concur, sentence cannot be passed, since they, Keter, Hakma, and Banah, and indeed not just Keter, but all three columns, the center column, the right column, and the left column, form a court of three. Let me check our time here. Yes, I'm going to have to call it a day for today, and of course I did not finish. There's more material than I can give in the time that we have. In the meantime, I will be rebroadcasting this tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern time, at 10 p.m. Eastern time, 7 p.m. Pacific time. And our next class will take up where we've left off today, and it will be on the following Monday. There is no service this Friday. There's no Erev Shabbat this Friday. So our next meeting in person will be on Monday at the same time as today. And if you want to get this, it's going to be later tonight posted to our website at www.beitshemtov.org under the audio archive navigation button. All right, well, that's all that I have today. We'll see you again on Monday, if not before. And in the meantime, I ask that God place his blessing upon you, make his face to shine upon you, and in the meantime, remember God at least twice each day. May you go from strength to strength. Be well. Zeigesund.